Well, I don't know, but for me, this is the story of the year. It really is. Not just because Curro shareholders are now delighted at a 50% uplift in their share price, but it's got to be the most visible impact on by a private person on impact on addressing South Africa's biggest problem, which is education. We're going to talk to Jan Mouton in just a moment. Jan, lovely talking with you. Let's get into the headline immediately. The Jan Mouton Foundation, your dad's foundation, one of the great entrepreneurs of South Africa, today announced that it wants to buy out the minority shareholders in Curro, take Curro private so that it can be a non-profit. Now, that's a big, big imagination that's driven this whole thing. Just tell us a little about how the decision was made, and then we'll go into a bit more detail in a moment on the Jan Mouton Foundation itself.
Okay, thanks, Alex. And it's great to be able to speak to you about this donation of 7.2 billion for education in South Africa. Now, how this came about at a meeting of the Jan Mouton Foundation, we were discussing building a school of skills in Stellenbosch. And the cost of that school would have been about 100 million rand. And when you build a new school, the first couple of years you make losses. So it is quite a long-term project and a big investment. So I then, that night after the meeting, thought about Curro, took its market cap, added a premium to that, and divided it by the number of Curro schools. So at this valuation that we're paying for Curro, 7.2 billion, they've got 189 schools. So we're paying on average 38 million rand per school, substantially less than it would cost to build a new school. But we're also getting a very effective organization. Costs are spread over the 189 schools. It is profitable. We can use that profits for the new public benefit education objective. There is management that we've known for years and management that we trusted. And the great thing was with the PSG shares that my father donated to the Jan Mouton Foundation, out of those PSG shares, Capitec shares were unbundled, PSG Financial Services, some Curro shares and a bit of other shares. We had enough money to be able to do this transaction. And we decided rather do something in Yanni's lifetime, do something big. He always said, you got to go for the big things. You got to focus. So this is one big focused donation.
How much of the trust's assets will be invested into this one transaction?
So we're investing 7.2 billion. We'll have a billion left.
Wow. So it is really, it's you're taking a full go. And I guess the Buddha Buffett would be giving a double thumbs up if he were analyzing it like he used to do in the past.
Yeah. No, it is so much in line with what he stands for. He always believed in education, that education's the best way to fix South Africa's problems for the long term. And this is a great opportunity that came along to do something big, something bold for South Africa.
It is extraordinary in so many ways. And let's hope that your example sparks other people into doing something about what has got to be the future of South Africa. We get the education right in South Africa. We know there's a long path to walk here. Then it can only lay a strong foundation for the future. But if you go back to Curro, to the beginning, to the early days of Curro, because your dad, Jannie, was very instrumental as he was with Capitec, and obviously PSG was his company, in starting this off? How did it get to a point, or what drove that initial thinking, which has now got it to a point of 189 schools?
Yes, the initial thinking was that there is an opportunity for Kiro for private education, but private education at a much lower fee level than your traditional private schools like Bishop's and St. Cyprian's would charge. So you're charging only slightly more than a Model C school, but you're giving a very high quality education. And there were also many areas where government was not building new schools. So there was opportunity and demand for those schools. And with education being a passion, Yanni went for this. Kiro was founded by Chris van der Merwe. He is one of the trustees of the Yanni Mouton Foundation, as well as a board member of Kiro. So we've walked a long way with him. He understands education, and he also has a big philanthropic heart, and it's great to take this journey with him further.
Jan, you are an investment analyst. If memory serves, you've done quite a lot of studying in the field, and you've been a top analyst as well with the assets that you've managed. Did that play much of a role here? You said you had a look at the market cap of Kiro. You saw that it was a value proposition to do this, but even so, to take virtually, well, the bulk of the assets in the foundation and to have this big play, and I'd also like you to unpack for us the way Kiro is going to look into the future. But the numbers clearly added up.
Yes, with Kiro's share price dropping quite considerably after it released its results in at the start of the year, around about February, and it announced flat learner numbers, the share price actually dropped from around 13 rand levels to carried on dropping over the months to 8 rand, which in essence created this opportunity for the foundation in that you are able to buy this business at a reasonable valuation and then still give shareholders a substantial premium of 60% on the share price. So yeah, of course we have to balance the interest of the current foundation with regards to the interests of shareholders. And luckily, this is also for shareholders a very good transaction in that they're getting a 60% premium on their investment.
So how is Kiro going to be different in future?
So Kiro will, if shareholders vote in favor of this transaction, Kiro will be 100% owned by the Yanni Mouton Foundation. It will immediately convert to a not-for-profit company. Now, a not-for-profit company doesn't have shareholders, so Kiro will, in essence, buy back the shares of the Yanni Mouton Foundation, which it paid 7.2 billion for 1 rand. So there is the nation element. Kiro's memorandum of incorporation will be changed to reflect that it is now a public benefit organization, and that is, its goals are the furtherance of education as a public benefit activity. So Kiro will be governed by its current board and run by its current management. We know the board and know the management, and we will together work for the future with a new public benefit goal that Kiro will have. So, for example, the current profit that Kiro makes, hopefully that grows over time, because that will mean there will be more funds available for bursaries for underprivileged children. You can even build schools in areas where there's a big need for schools. All the profit, there will be no shareholder in Kiro going forward. All the money will just be reinvested for education, for the South African public, and to quality education. It means that the quality at Kiro can even increase as well.
How are you going to balance it, though? And it is quite interesting, this, because Yanni is a capitalist. That's what it was about. He could see where the return on investment was, and he then saw some wonderful opportunities, and as a consequence, has given the country some fantastic businesses. But balancing here into what will be essentially a mutual society, or like an old mutual before it got demutualized. Is there anything that you can put into the company's maybe incorporation documents or something along those lines to ensure that you get that balance right? Because at some point in time, you're going to have that conflict. We'd like to put a school into this poor area, but on the other hand, it's going to require subsidies into the future. I'm really interested to get an insight into how philosophically you are going to deal with that.
Yes, that will be the big challenge for the board going forward, to weigh all that up. But the current schools, as they are, will carry going forward in the same way. They will still be paying fees. There will most likely be a benefit for them, because at all the current schools, you can now make a decision. For example, if the school needed AstroTurf, which is a very expensive thing, and it is for the benefit of the child, of the learners, you might consider building it now, because you don't have to have a return on investment on that capital outlay. So current parents will benefit in that. The focus will now be on quality education foremost. But we will also try and make a surplus. The bigger the surplus, the more bursaries you can give and build underprivileged schools in other areas. So every 1 rand you make, you have 1 rand to give away. It will be a new way of thinking, but we would like to continue with running Kiro as a very efficient business. And I think maybe if you know you're working with money for the children, almost public money, you work perhaps even harder, hopefully. As a Kiro teacher, as a Kiro management, and build this out for the benefit of South Africa.
Are there any models elsewhere in the world?
So, for example, you many of the private schools in South Africa, like take Bishops and Cyprian's, Somerset College, are all public benefit organizations that charge fees. Those fees are used for appointing the best teachers, keeping up the school grounds, giving bursaries. So it's exactly that same model. It's now just done in one shot at scale with 189 schools.
Can you give us a sense of what Kiro has contributed thus far? How many learners have come through the system? How many people are employed, etc.?
Yeah, so it's about 72,000 learners, and the number of teachers, it's quite a labor-intensive business. So the number of teachers or permanent employees is 7,200. So it is quite a substantial operation. Of those 200 employees, 4,200 are teachers. So, it is labor intensive, and also capital intensive. The school buildings and the land of the school buildings
And what did Chris van der Merwe have to say when you first floated this idea past him?
It was so beautiful. He immediately got it. He was very enthusiastic with regards to the idea. And I think it takes something that he founded with enthusiasm much further than he ever imagined it would go. And it's been great working with him as a trustee of the Jannie Mouton Foundation. He actually works 2 days full-time for us looking at philanthropic opportunities. So it's really in his heart, philanthropy.
So you've got the three kids, yourself, your sister, and your brother. And you effectively, being the heirs to the Jannie Mouton fortunes, if you like, are the ones who have to motivate this. We see so many terrible stories where the children sue the parents because they don't feel like the parents are looking after their bequeathment correctly. And it's not an isolated example. We have people close to us who are going through that ordeal. How did the three of you, when you then got hold of your brother and sister, how did they react to your thought?
No, they were also a bit immediately said, "Whoa, this is fantastic idea. Let's get in the car and go and speak to Jannie." And Charity, who mostly focus herself on philanthropy efforts, was also from the start very, very happy with this idea. And I think our father raised us the right way. It's a wonderful initiative of his, the Jannie Mouton Foundation, and I think it's a great thing that we now, as the next generation, taking forward his ideas, and that we have found this big opportunity, a focused opportunity. He loved focus and doing things big, and to do it in his lifetime. It's much better to have 189 schools that you funded for the public than having a share portfolio worth 7.2 billion. So that's in essence what's happening. We're swapping that share portfolio of the foundation for the 189 schools, which are effectively run. They are profitable. There are good systems in place. So, it is a great opportunity for preserving his legacy. And it's a beautiful way. He was inspired by Warren Buffett to give away a portion of his wealth. And we were very, very happy and supportive of him. We were very, very proud.
And what did? How did he react when you did get to talk to him about this?
Yes, no, he thought that's like the most greatest idea, and not easy executing these big transactions. It's a lot of legal work, a lot of documents you have to read through. But we got to work, and we've announced the firm intention. Shareholders are getting a 60% premium, so hopefully they'll vote in favor of this transaction. So, and it's not a competitor. For Kiro, it is a friendly party partnering with them to go forward as a public benefit organization. And it's of all the listed businesses, only I think a school would classify as a public benefit activity. You can't have another type of business. They're usually not public benefit activities in the public benefit organization. Can only do certain types of activities to be registered as a public benefit organization. So it was this almost once in a lifetime opportunity, and to do something really big and good. And as far as we can see, it's the biggest donation in South Africa's history to date.
As I said, story of the year. But it's early days yet. Any reaction from government?
No, we haven't seen any reaction from government.
And the shareholders, who will you have to convince, given that you only have a small, or the foundation has a relatively small share of Kira?
Yeah, so the big shareholders are Coronation, PIC. So we will speak to them, but I do think it's a substantial premium. The premium should convince them that this is a good opportunity for their shareholders who they represent, for the investors.
I remember the Buddha Buffett once talking to me about the Obas of Omaha and how he has influenced his thinking so much, Warren Buffett. I'm sure that when Warren Buffett hears about this, he's going to say, well, maybe the Buddha Buffett has actually beaten him to the punch on this idea. And well done, Jan. I have no doubt that the legacy of your father will live on indefinitely as a consequence of a quite extraordinary decision by the family and by the foundation that is created by Jannie and in Jannie's name. And let's hope, as I mentioned earlier in this conversation, that it sparks others into doing similar kinds of investments into an area where really, really can make a huge difference in our country. Jan Mouton is the deputy chair of the Jannie Mouton Foundation. I'm Alec Hogg from biznews.com.